all so much this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. We'll get down to the TV, to the presentation in a few minutes. But we want to begin in the Word of God today. But again, just to echo my appreciation, you had me back a second time. That's wonderful, you know. A lot of places I go once, that's it. I never get to go back, right? But no, and I was reflecting as we're preparing. It was March 15th of 2020 when I was here before, nearly 2 years ago. And I was just thinking about how much the world has changed since then. Certainly COVID has had an incredible impact in so many ways. As I was here then, it was just really ramping up and a lot of unknowns and a lot of things happening. Since then, in the places that we serve with the harvesters, many of the countries have had, very, very great changes, particularly Myanmar. As I spoke last time about our work there, they've had a military coup that has totally changed the landscape of the country as far as how church planting and ministry is done and how life is done. And many, many places have experienced so much change in our world. But you know what's so cool today? There are some things that have never changed. Amen. The sovereignty of our holy God that we worship today. His love for people and God's desire to embrace people through their faith in Christ, their embracing of the gospel, and his desire for his church to be a force on this earth, right? Not to be a passive, but to be a force that is changing this world through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us as we participate in what God is doing on his earth. And those things, friends, have not changed. You know what? Those are the important things, right? The important things have not changed. The foundation upon which the Church of Christ is built, the revelation knowledge of who he is, the Son of the living God, sent on this earth to live and die to redeem lost men, women, boys, and girls. That's not changed. And who we are in Christ, amen, as Spirit-filled believers, walking in the power and the anointing of our loving Heavenly Father, that has not changed. So the important stuff has not changed. And, you know, it can be very unsettling, all the things that happen in our world. And that's so great to think about Christ, our solid rock upon which we stand. And as the old Southern Gospel song says, I've shook upon the rock, but the rock is never shook beneath me. That is a matter of great comfort to this old boy, and I trust it is for you as well today. So thank you so much for coming today and giving me a chance just to share with you what God has put on my heart to share from his word, and certainly an update on the ministry of harvesters that we appreciate so much your participation in here at Hardeeville. I was excited to hear we'd be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. And it really is a celebration, isn't it? Of the ultimate expression of God's love, right? To lay down the life of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. So it truly is a celebration. And we'll read the scripture in just a moment, and it speaks to the new covenant, which we celebrate also today, that we have through faith. It received God's grace to have a relationship with the God who created this universe. That's worth celebrating, friends. That's victory in Jesus today, the ultimate victory there. And to celebrate that we have, I made a list here, forgiveness, redemption, justification, regeneration, the new birth, to become righteous in the sight of the living God that we could never accomplish on our own. The old covenant proved that. But yet today, through faith in Christ, in his sacrificial death, the breaking of the body, the shedding of the blood, we celebrate that today. And those things, forgiveness, redemption, justification, regeneration, the new birth, being righteous in the sight of God, that is not a theological concept today, friend. That is who we are in Jesus. That's our reality. It's not academic. It's real in the life of the believer today. That's who we are. That is worth celebrating. That is worth celebrating, and it's worth sharing, amen, with those who don't have that position in Christ. It's the reality we experience today, and to celebrate again the sacrificial death, which was the linchpin, if you will, the key element to all that becoming reality, again, is worth celebrating, the highest expression of God's love. You know, man, I love people, I do, but the thought of me giving one of my daughters, I have two of those. I got a granddaughter too. I'll show you some pictures later. But the thought of me sharing one of their, you know, extending their life in exchange for others is beyond my capacity to embrace, to even ponder, to celebrate that today, because that's exactly what God did. That's good stuff. And And in the scripture, we'll read in just a moment, you know, Jesus told his disciples, when you do this, do it in what? Remembrance of me. And we do that today. And it brings to my mind, even the cup and the bread today, it brings to my mind that our faith is not about a system of theology. Our faith is not about nebulous things or philosophy. Our faith is about a person, right? Our faith is centered on a person that we have personal relationship, being Jesus Christ. And the broken body, the shed blood, is about as personal as it gets. Amen. And to partake of that is just got great gravity and significance in my spirit today. So I'm excited, authentically excited. I remember the very first time that I partook in the Lord's Supper as a young man, and I remember my dad explaining to me what it all meant. And oh man, it's great, great, great stuff. Take your Bible. Let's look at the scripture today. Let's look in Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22, the account there in the Gospel of Luke of the evening when Jesus indeed shared this Lord's Supper with the 12 apostles. And in a moment, I'll shift and also read from John chapter 13 as well about that same evening. But let's just carefully meditate on the word as you read along with me, as I read aloud. And it says in Luke chapter 22, in verse 14, it says, "And when the hour was come," verse 14, "he," being Jesus, "sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Man, just such a powerful, powerful thing here that Jesus said. So many sermons packed into these words here, but we understand, we see the picture. I want to also read this morning, as we think about that evening, from John chapter 13. John chapter 13, in verse 4, continues the narrative as to what occurred that particular evening. John 13 and 4. And it says, "He," being Christ, "riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments. And he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Drop down to verse 12. "So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." That is powerful words there, friends. Happy are ye if ye do them. You know, when Jesus did these things that evening, my perception is that the disciples were pretty close to clueless as to what was going on. They really had no perception of what was about to unfold before them. They didn't understand the significance of Christ's words or his actions that night. They really didn't. They didn't get it, right? They did eventually, but they didn't at that point. You know, us here today, we have the advantage of being able to look back in retrospect. We know what's happened. We understand you know, when we read these words, all the impact that they have, and they are great, and they are significant. You know, two great illustrations, two great lessons gave Christ that night in regard to his sacrificial death and the significance of that, and also a pretty straight-up example of how he's called us to serve and live our lives in service to one another. Amen, church? Two great, incredible lessons with incredible spiritual truth and also great practical implications to how we live our lives among the body of Christ and in the world that we live in, called to be the servants. And again, there's a lot of things we could talk about there, and the temptation is great to go with that. But this morning, I also want us to think about something else. Okay, I want us to think about the events that evening that occurred, and not just those events, but think about those events that evening as what they really were, well, part of a long unfolding plan of God. How these events occurred as part of a continuation of occurrences and events and teachings and things that happened over a long, long period of time that have led us even to where we are today. And to think about how we here today are part of that flow of events that God planned, ordained, and has seen come to pass over time. You know, our story here today, now think about this, our story here today certainly includes what happened that evening when Christ broke the bread, poured the cup, washed the feet. Certainly it did. But that story began a long time ago. Even in the heart and the mind of God, even before creation, our story began, didn't it? For we believe God knew in eternity past that we'd be here today, which is incredible for us to ponder. But think about that. That story, our story, began back then, and it certainly was part of the creation process. And then our story today flowed through all the events of the Old Testament, all the things that God revealed through the Old Testament. He revealed through the Old Covenant law, the Mosaic law, that there's no way that men or women could earn righteousness in the sight of God. We failed miserably. He used that old covenant, all those things, to point us to the necessity and the need for Christ. Amen, church, that only through grace, through faith, are we able to become redeemed and righteous in the sight of God. So think about that flow of events and all the words of the prophets, everything that led up to the coming of Christ, his advent, his birth there, his life, his sinless life, and you know, and then there's the waning hours, the things we read about here just a few moments ago. And then certainly after that, he was within a few hours, he found himself hung on a cross, dying an incredible, horrific death for you and I. And then certainly the resurrection that occurred after that, which when we celebrate with glorious hearts or love-filled hearts, whatever. And then think about that as the early church began to unfold, and Christ gave the commission there before his ascension, and then the early church began, and the apostles and all those, they began to do the things that they did, and then the message of Christ spread, and this is over time and space and geography, if you will, that all spread, and then somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody who told somebody else, and many things happened, and the church grew and found its way to America, and eventually find its way all the way to, for me, Eastern North Carolina, for you down here in South Carolina. And then one day somebody somewhere told you about Jesus Christ and you embraced him as your Lord and your Savior. You know, it's really one continuous story with many, many braids to that channel, if you will, and many places and many, many people involved. Matter of fact, most of us, you know, we don't know everybody involved in that succession, that line of people, if you will, that eventually led to us becoming a follower of Christ. That makes sense, friends? It really does. And I think about all the people in my life that God used to lead me to Christ. And I think about my dear pastor, Preacher Bill. He was my pastor from the time I was born until I was 21 years old. And I think about my mom and my dad and all those people that God used to shape and influence, and how through their obedience, this message of the gospel became reality in my life. And certainly, again, that event that night we read about a few minutes ago was part of that. of bringing that great love to Doug, that I might know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And although I'm so unworthy and I fell, and but through His grace, through His mercy, He just blesses my life in so many ways. And I'm just so thankful for the love of God, and I'm thankful for those who knew that love and who passed it along that I might know it. What a great and incredible blessing that is. When I think about the greatness of the love of God, it's just hard for us to wrap our brain around, isn't it? A quick story, a personal story. When I was a little boy, and I don't know how old I was old enough to know better. I was a little fella, right? I remember one day I'm out playing in the yard and knocking around the barn there, and I find an old spring from a screen door. You know what I'm talking about? Those springs that kept the spring door shut, or the screen door shut, rather. So I looked at that spring, and I had an idea. It's not a good idea, but I had an idea. And I went out in the front yard, and I laid that thing down in the grass, right? And I stepped back away from it. And Mama was there at the kitchen window, washing dishes, doing what she did. And I could see her, and, you know, she'd look out in the yard every once in a while, see me out there. And in a few minutes, I pointed that spring. I said, Mama, it's a snake, it's a snake, it's a snake. And Mama screaming, get back, get back, get back, you know. And she, in just a minute, she comes tearing out the indoor of the house, and she runs up there, and she looks down, and she sees that it's not a snake, it's a spring, a metal spring. And I'm standing over here, and I think it's funny, right? And I laugh. And that was a mistake, right? Because Mama got very upset. And I remember in great vivid detail, although it's probably been 50 years ago, what happened next. Mama looked up and she saw me standing there laughing at her. And what happened next was very quickly and very ugly. She ran over and she grabbed hold of me and she pulled my britches down right in the front yard. You know, of course, and she blistered my butter beans right there, you know. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then, but then what happened next is what stuck with me the most. She scooped me up and she stooped me over to the front porch, right? And she stood me there and she sat down on that step and she talked to me. She said, son, let me tell you something. I love you so much. She said, I would give my life for you. And I do everything I can every day to take care of you and to show you that love and to help you understand how much you are truly loved. And she said, don't ever, ever mock my love for you again. And then she said, I want you to sit here. I want you to think about that for a little while. And then she walked back in the house. And I've been thinking about that ever since. I have. And I think about how much my mother, who died in 2017, how much she really loved me. And from that experience, maybe I begin to get a glimpse of the love of God. Amen? That's how much He loves us. And that's how much He wants us to embrace His love. And to think about the sacrifice that He did make. Now, my mom made sacrifices for me and my three brothers, no doubt. But not to the extent that Christ made a sacrifice for us. We ponder that love. And today when we drink this cup and we eat that bread, let's ponder that love. How about it, church? And think about what that represents. And certainly it represents our redemption, our forgiveness. It represents the door that was open that we might have a relationship with God that began at the moment we received Christ and lasted through all eternity. But my goodness, it also is a picture of love, isn't it? I didn't necessarily mean to share all that, but it came to my heart. And let's think about that love. Let's think about that love. And let's think about that we are kind of like people at a point in a river. If we think about that story that began before creation and flowed through the Old Testament and all those people and all those things God did to lead us here, it's kind of like a river of time and events flowing to us, right? But let's think about this as we think about that as a river. That as a river, at any particular point, it receives from upstream that which creates and sustains it, the water that flows. There's a downstream as well. And that downstream depends on the upstream. as its source. And as I ponder these things, I think about where I stand and all the countless people, the vast majority of whom I never know, have known, who in their obedience were used by God to pass that gospel along. And then here I am. I have received, and I have received well. I've been well taught. I think about the call that I have on my life. Matt, I would suggest we all have our lives. Is not only be in that point of the river of receiving, but also to be careful to be part of that river that sends and gives. Amen, church? To sense that there are still countless millions in our world who've never heard the name of Christ. They're downstream of us, shall we say, figuratively speaking. There are people in this community who are downstream of you. Amen, church? In this region, in this state, in this area, in this world. And it brings me back to thinking about the great commission of Christ when he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." When he told the apostles, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth." And to me, thinking figuratively, as my mind often does, I see those people as being downstream from me. And that God's plan is to use us, his church, to be the vessel through which that downstream hears and receives, hears and receives, hears and receives. So that's sort of my challenge to you today. And that's my challenge to me every day. To be faithful as one who has received incredible mercy, has been the beneficiary of the great obedience of many, many people who committed their lives to the gospel and the calling of their lives, to be faithful to be the one that helps those that are downstream of me, the ones that God has called me to be a witness to, both in the grocery store and halfway around the world, as it may be. So think about that. And let's think about that as we do communion and as we put it in the perspective of the grand plan and in the calling we have on our lives. Does that make any sense, guys? Does it make any sense to us? Again, to me, it's just part of the response that we have as believers to the love that's been shown to us. Amen. And it's part of that call that Jesus exhibited when he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, "Happy are you if you do these things, if you go and you serve and you carry forward." So that's kind of the message I had on my heart to share with you today. And what I want to spend the rest of my time doing is just sharing with you what we feel that God has called us to do as harvesters in fulfilling that and to reaching those downstream and our role in that. So let me just transition to doing just that and sharing with you, again, what we feel that God has called us to do. Quick review, if you were here back in March of 2020, I'm sure you remember everything I said that day, right? Okay, just a quick overview, and then I'll share with you some things that are happening currently since the time I was here before. God called harvesters into existence about 40 years ago through a career missionary who was from Eastern North Carolina, grew up not far from where I grew up at, and spent his career in South Africa. And he came back to the States with a passion and a heart to do something to support the local indigenous leaders who were serving in their own country. In that case, it was people back in South Africa. And so he began that process of doing what he could do here in the U.S. to raise funds, come alongside, assist, equip, advise those people on the ground in Africa. And from that, God has blessed us to grow into partnerships with 11 different locally led, indigenously led ministries throughout Africa and Asia. And there's the list there of doors that God has opened for us. Again, working with people who are on the ground there, who are from that community, serving their people. And it's a beautiful model. It's very, very effective because these local folk, they know the culture. They don't require language training. I mean, they're ready. They know the people. They've got a lot of heads up on people who might come in from the outside. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with missionaries going from the States to these locations. Praise God for them. I'm a believer in that. But this is the model God has called us to. And it's also not only very effective, it's very efficient from a financial perspective as to what can be done, you know, operating through that mode of reaching people. So God has just opened incredible doors through some fabulous partners. You, Pastor, and some others, you met Reuben, who is one of our partners serving now in Kenya and South Sudan, leading that ministry there. And you don't have to be around Reuben long, just appreciate his heart, his genuineness, absolutely. He's a prince of a guy, and I just love spending time with him. I speak with him and communicate with him often. But he's just one of the 11, if you will, in the various places where God has called us to serve. Now, obviously, the last couple of years have had impact due to COVID to the ministry, the way we're doing ministry in certain locations. Let me tell you something. You already know it, but God's in control. Amen, church? And God can use what is perceived to be a disaster for His glory and His good. You believe that today, friends? We have seen it firsthand. And as we think about the COVID impacts around the world, obviously they've had great impact here, but many places, friends, the impact is just far greater in the lives of daily people, even beyond what it has been here. We see a lot of hunger and risk of hunger occur due to the economic impacts of the shutdowns and that sort of thing. We've seen a lot of lack of basic needs being met, a huge uptick in homelessness in a lot of places, domestic violence, major uptick in a lot of places as people and families were shoved together. Many places in our world, it's very difficult to be a female. It's hard to be a woman. And, you know, men use just the physical strength in many situations to render very, very bad circumstances on their wives or families, if you will. We definitely saw an uptick in domestic violence, teen pregnancy, believe it or not. Several places we served was a major uptick as kids were stuck at home. They weren't in school. And there's some other factors that feed into that. Certainly disrupted education, extreme stress and despair in a lot of places. Now, again, these are horrible things, and we would not wish them in any circumstance. But the reality is God can use hard circumstances to touch people, to open hearts, and we've seen that. We were so blessed to be heavily engaged with COVID relief. I'll show you a figure in a few minutes. Last year, God blessed through His people. We were able to provide over 90,000 COVID relief meals. A lot of those happened here in this is in India. This is in the city of Vijayawada of India, and I've been there. And it's poor and difficult during normal times, but God opened the door. But in these circumstances, this is northern India doing food food distribution. This is actually a tons and tons of food we bought in Kenya and shipped over into South Sudan. We bought food, and we also bought seed, crop seed, and were able to distribute those because their reliance upon imports was disrupted because of COVID, brought in seed, and just touched literally tens of thousands of people that way, okay? Distributing food, distributing seeds. Again, this is South Sudan. Reuben took this photograph here. All these places, Uganda, distributing food to the impoverished widows. All these places, though, but I'll said all that to say this, all this is just open incredible gospel opportunities to tangibly share, as Jesus taught us to do, to meet physical needs, but to open doors to share the gospel. And just hundreds of people accepted Christ simply because COVID connected us with people otherwise we never would have met. Okay, God is in control. And God can take the most rotten of circumstances and use it for His glory and for the expansion of His kingdom. Because everything that we do as a ministry is focused on evangelism and church planting. And we get involved with a lot of other stuff. Orphan care, which I'll talk to in just a moment. Meeting basic needs. Water projects. Education. A lot of things. But it all points back to this. A pastor like Pastor Sam being able to share the gospel with someone like Alice here. And an opportunity for them to hear about a God that loves them, expressed through the work of one of His people. So God is blessed. Another cool thing that sort of came out of COVID This is in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, if you're familiar at all with Africa and you've ever learned about the Democratic Republic of the Congo, long term, it's one of the toughest places on the planet. It is horrifically difficult there. It is incredibly corrupt. It should be one of the wealthiest countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And one of the reasons it should be so wealthy is because of these. The country of the DR Congo has an incredible wealth of minerals, copper, cobalt, tungsten, and some rare minerals that are there. And several of those minerals show up in nearly every one of these smartphones in the whole wide world. Friends, that's a whole lot of smartphones, right? The problem is the country is so corrupt and that industry is so corrupt, the people actually doing the work essentially are slaves or worse. A few fat cats getting richer by the day, a few corrupt government officials are just raking it in. And so no functional government, impoverishment, very violent place. It's known as the rape capital of the world. A CNN called it that a few years ago. But anyway, got a great partner there, Athanase Habimana. Several hundred churches, very evangelistic. We just opened our second orphanage there this past year. I'll show you that in a moment. But because of COVID, when COVID hit, the people were getting a lot of misinformation. Okay, there's no really functional government there that's doing a good job. They were terrified. They thought the plague was coming. Okay, they thought they're all going to die. Or they heard just enough and they had no idea how to protect themselves from that. So they had dabbled in radio in the past, started a brand new radio station in the city of Goma, about 1 million people. And one of their earliest purposes was to disseminate and share legitimate information about COVID, but also to begin to preach the gospel. Man, since then, God has used that station that was birthed as a necessity because of COVID has blossomed. It is now filled with gospel music. It is filled with pastors teaching. They're doing all kind of cool stuff to disciple people, and they're baptizing several dozen people a month because of this. I get pictures from there all the time. Again, how God is using this radio station, the city of Goma. We just recently have ramped that up. We've bought a new tower, new equipment. We're expanding that. So again, God is in control. God can take what is a rotten situation and accomplish his purpose in doing so. And we've seen that there with what they call the Voice of Comfort Radio there in the DR Congo. It's just a super cool story how God has used them in so many ways. This is a group of women that have a program there. Again, being a female is a very difficult place to be a female. It really, really is. When I was there first trip 2015, I had a chance to speak to a group of widows, and at the end they gave me their prayer request. And one of their prayer requests is God protect us from being assaulted, being raped. It blew my mind. And a lot of other bad things happened. So again, God has used this radio station in such a cool way. You heard me speak of Myanmar. Okay, Myanmar kind of hit the double whammy. They had heavy hit from COVID back in 2020. Then last February 1st, a military coup occurred. The military took over the country. They arrested and imprisoned all the democratically elected leaders, and they took over. They really took back over from about 10 years ago. But anyway, and so been mass arrest, lots of people disappearing, lots of people killed, and it's really changed things. But let me tell you what this is. This is a window of opportunity for the church. People there are frightened. They don't know what the future holds. Many of them are hungry, food prices through the roof. And we just sense the timing and are beginning to see the fruits of planting even more churches in that environment. God has moved. This is a recent photograph of one of the home churches there, pastor reaching out to his community, doing a lot of food distribution there to touch the lives. And I get photos consistently. They're baptizing people and teaching them about the good news of Christ. Again, even in a bad situation, God is doing great things. Bouncing around a little bit, this is a picture I took last July. I was finally able to travel again. In July, I was in Kenya, the DR Congo, and Rwanda. And this was a brand new well. And again, water continues to be a big thing, especially among the Pokot tribe, where Reuben is from there in Kenya. And last year, God bless, we were able to bring water to 10,000 people who previously had to struggle for water on a daily basis. And so that's still a great evangelism tool. We're just so exciting. And one of the greatest days of my life is to go to one of these well dedications and see these people who've had to struggle for water. Now they have water. And it stabilizes their community. Their village no longer has to be semi-nomadic, seeking after water. And they're able to not spend hours each day fetching water. The women are able, and the women do all the work, by the way. And the women are now able to pour in their families and try to educate their children. Literally, the women are the ones who fetch the water. The men, they manage, shall we say. Now, sometimes they don't hit a lick of a snake, as we say in the South. But anyway, just an incredible impact on these communities. And we appreciate POCOT Outreach Ministries, who's our partner there in Kenya, South Sudan, and also in over into Uganda, for the great work they've done in reaching so many people with the gospel. Love this video. Check this out, guys. This is in South Sudan, by the way. And what you're seeing is the well rig has just struck water. So you see, yeah, you see the water spewing up. That's the well rig owned by the ministry, just struck water. And these people are rejoicing, right? Let me tell you the coolest part of that, okay? The coolest part of that is their song. Reuben sent me this video he had taken when the well, you know, began to spew water and the people were rejoicing. I said, Reuben, what does this song mean? This is the words of the song they were singing. Father, you are exalted above all else. There is no one like you. You are a God everywhere, every tribe, every people. You created us. No one is like you. You are exalted above all else. No one is like you. That blessed my heart. I think about when Paul wrote to the folks at Corinth, you know, and he was taking up a collection. Paul was a good preacher. He's always taking up a collection, right? He's taking up a collection. Remember what he told those people in Corinth? He says, not only will your giving result in their need being met, but it will multiply praises to God. I'm paraphrasing. Remember that in the scriptures? That's it. And as people here gave, these things happen because people here give with a generous heart. And as God used his people here to provide the funding necessary to make that happen, what happened? Praises to God result. Amen. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture and very, very exciting to see. And we're thankful for God opening the door. To date, in the country of Kenya, over the last couple of decades, 226 wells just like this have been installed through the ministry. 250,000 people with water that used to struggle. But the beautiful thing is over 500,000 people have been reached with the gospel, right? And again, the beautiful format of using wells, water, other needs being met in this very, very desolate area of the world has opened the door for spreading the gospel just in incredible ways. Church planting continues. Again, I was there just last July. I took these photographs. I love taking pictures of people, especially kids. And we had gathered out in this brand new church that was started. There's our choir. Man, it's so cool, right? There's our choir and just a beautiful worship. You see the backdrop there. You're sitting out under the bushes and the mountains in the background and the trees. And man, it's a great place to worship the Lord. I'm just telling you, because the authenticity that is there is just striking. And now they come and for many hours sit basically on a wooden log, you know, propped up above the ground there. And they just love to come and worship and sing and dance. And let me tell you something, I sing and dance right along with them, boy. I'm serious. And I love it and they love it and God loves it because we're singing and dancing unto him. Amen. And it's just a great worship experience. I look forward to some of you guys experiencing that with us sometime. Brand new church planted in the time of COVID. The pastor there didn't understand a word he said, but you know what? You could hear the Spirit speaking through his heart. Amen. It's just good stuff. Other things happening currently. This is a church we just built up in a remote area of Rwanda. But the cool thing is, a great way to reach these communities is through the children. We had a preschool operating in this church. Could only have 30 kids due to their limitations because of COVID. This was taken yesterday. Well, God is blessed. We're building a brand new preschool in this village. Be 90 kids there. And already the church is prospering as we reach out to more children in that community who otherwise would not have a chance at this kind of education. Man, I got it very quickly. This is back in the DR Congo. This is a group of children we met a couple of years ago. And these kids were destitute. This is December 25th. This is Christmas of 2020. Excuse me, December 2020. Met this group of children living in this village, and man, we lost some due to malnutrition. We began to feed them, to clothe them, to care for them, and I'm very much giving you the quick version story. Got up in the door, able to buy this piece of property that you see here. June of last year, we were able to construct the new orphanage there. And there's that same group of kids, man. Their life is forever changed, forever changed. And there's so many there that we want to reach out and help. Project Hope 127 is our child sponsorship program that we use to support the work. Just a few shots of their home. But let me show you this. You saw a moment ago, Christmas 2021. They're sitting down in this village on this mud floor and would be in much worse shape at that point had we not been feeding them for several months. But this is Christmas this past year. Ain't that the coolest thing, guys? They're going to sing Joy to the World for us. Check this out, guys, just for a moment. Now, my conviction is this. My personal conviction is every one of those kids, God put them in my downstream. Okay? As well as a lot of other people. Now, and I say that humbly before you today, friends. I say that humbly before you. But God has put a lot of people in our downstream. Would we agree with that? And the opportunity, you know, this kid is Meshach. I love his grin. Incredible difference, you know, just a year later. Just a result of love. And we see these kids not just as orphans that we've saved from lives of stealing, prostitution, struggling to survive. You know, we see these kids as the kids that are going to change their country. So our heart is to raise them up and to pour into them with the very best of love and education, things to provide them so they can grow up to be difference makers. On that campus, we're planning on building our school this year. We're trusting God to bring that about. Just very quickly in summation, and we give these numbers as a praise to God. In 2021, we recorded over 6,000 new believers through the partners that we work with. And these numbers are qualified. These are not people that show up and just poke their hand up at a meeting for the 15th time to be counted again. These are people who have been counseled by a pastor, who have been spoken to, who have had the gospel explained to them. We're very careful with the numbers. Over 3,000 baptisms, 111 new churches. For us, a new church has to have at least three families involved, had to be meeting regularly, had to have a pastor or leader that's been appointed by the overseeing ministry that we're partnering with there, and again, the COVID relief. We give praise to God, and we literally, sincerely, I should say, thank you for your role in that, for your part, because, see, these people are downstream of all of us. Amen? And we have received, and we freely give, not out of obligation. We don't want people to give out of obligation. No, that's a rotten motivator. We give out of hearts of love and appreciation for all that Christ has done and the opportunity to bless others. So, Pastor, why don't you come on back up here, friend, and close out as you feel led. I'll be around. If you have any questions, be glad to speak to anybody anytime. I'm not that far. I live in Wilson, North Carolina, right up 95. I travel it often, be glad to scoot back by. But let me just end by saying thank you so much. Appreciate the chance to share. And I look forward to celebrating communion with us here in just a moment.